no matter what you do, do not say that on the air.
Turn down for what?
All right, here we are in the How to Ski It podcast, episode 12 is what I'm being told from the studio, which we got this great window put into the studio. And so the people working the sound equipment and the mixers are on the other side of the glass, which is professional. It's kind of cool. Like, we're in a little soundproof room. We've come a long ways on the How to Ski It podcast. The last time we talked, we were leaving the X Games, and Marcus, Ryan, and Izzy drove home from Aspen on I-70 on a Sunday, which takes some guts to do that. And Melinda and myself went up to Telluride and went skiing with a friend, Tom Watkinson, who I went to Western State College of Colorado, and we played rugby together, and then we ran into him on the mountain. That was a weird sound. Let's try to keep those to a minimum. They got the soundproof room to knock down sounds like that.
Producer, could you mute that mic, please? Now, you said you ran into him on the mountain.
Well, so we talked to him weeks ahead of time saying, we're going to meet up, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, get on this lift number 8, get off, go under the lift, ski over to lift number 9. And there he was. And I hadn't seen him in 30 years. And there he was. And he took us for one of the most amazing ski days. It was a bluebird day. And he is a PR person for Visit Telluride. And so he knows everything about the area and every place to go ski. The conditions weren't amazing because it had gotten up to 40 degrees the day before. Their coverage was good.
You got somebody talking to you, Dave.
Who let him in the soundproof room?
So we get a soundproof room in the studio, and then we bring the dogs in it. That's how we do it. So, and he wants to play fetch. But let's go back to Telluride. So about 6 hours from Denver, maybe just a little over 2 hours, 2.5 hours from Grand Junction. We actually stayed in Ouray, where my parents were, and they were ice climbing. They're crazy folks. And then we drove about an hour to Telluride. We parked in a place called Carhenge, is where my friend Tom said to park. Free parking at the base of Telluride. Now, something, that's sweet. Yeah. And something unique about Telluride is there's Telluride the town. This is what you see in the photos, old Western stuff, beautiful, surrounded by cliffs. And then there's Telluride the mountain, and there's a gondola that connects the two. And Telluride the mountain is like Vail-esque, you know, all modern condos, balconies, fireplaces, the works. And then the town is just, it is what it is. It's kind of like an old Western town, historic, beautiful, and a great place. But I hadn't skied Telluride since college. And I'll say right now, it's easily one of the best ski areas in Colorado, which makes it one of the best ski areas in the world. And if you like advanced skiing, they have hundreds of hike two runs at 45 degrees and crazy stuff. So big, 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 big thumbs up to Telluride, Colorado.
Is that all the Gold Hill stuff off the Gold Hill chair? I think that's the right name.
I don't remember a lot of the names of the chairs, and the one thing about Telluride is it's very, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's very disjointed. So you have to ride a chair to a chair to a, I mean, you have to ride like 4 chairs to get to the top, but you're also like 3 peaks away from where you started. And so there is a considerable amount of skiing above Timberline, and everything ends in like a 1,000-foot cliff. It is. Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a, so we have a video coming out featuring Tom as well, talking about all the cool stuff in and around Telluride. I'm pretty sure it's Gold Hill Lift. There's a bunch of runs, the Gold Hill shoots down the side of the mountain, but there's also the Revolution Lift, Revy Lift, that he refers to, that goes up, and like there's like a goat, yeah, Gold Hill. So like Gold Hill 1 and ends in the goat path, and all of these are above tree line, and there's just wild cliffs. And he's like, yeah, so that one ends in a cliff, so you use the goat path.
Yeah, and so that is exactly what he was talking about. And it just is, it was visually overwhelming. The scenery, the terrain, the number of runs you see from the chairlift that you want to ski that are steep, double blacks, black diamonds, just amazing.
But I thought it, I thought it was really funny that they didn't have great snow coverage. They needed some snow. Didn't make it any less of an amazing day. But Dave had this memory of skiing the spiral stairs and the plunge. And so we said, well, let's just go and take a quick look and see if it looks like it, the skiing would be good. And we went past the point of no return. And I could see that Dave, who is skiing on his rock skis, didn't mind getting on in there. But Tom was not as enthusiastic.
Yeah, he was on a pair of Wagner custom skis, which are made in Telluride. And I can't, because he's a fantastic skier. So he is a absolutely rocket ship of a skier. But then I saw this apprehension that I was like, what? Like, this isn't that bad. It is steep. And, you know, it's a double diamond. But then he was like, yeah, I've got new skis on. And so I was like, sorry, man. At that point, it was too late. And then he just destroyed it. He shredded it. So I don't have enough good stuff to say about Telluride. The one thing we didn't get to do, which Tom told us, was the culinary side of Telluride, I guess, is second to none. And so we did have lunch on the mountain, and that was fantastic, but we didn't get to go to any of the Opry ski places or anything like that.
So I did get handed a correction by our producer, and it is the Revelation lift and Revelation bowl that leads to the Gold Hill runs, not the Gold Hill lift, Revelation lift. Who let that dog in here?
There was too many lifts, honestly, for me. There's too many lifts that it was like, we're going to take this lift, we're going to take lift. But it was easy to navigate after we got up to the tippy top once. It was easy to navigate after that. And a great experience, like not busy. We were there on a weekday, not busy, and really friendly people, which was cool. And then our friend Tom, everybody on the mountain knew him. It was hilarious that he even told us he had like a new ski suit. And he's like, I don't know how people are noticing me. I just got this outfit. And it was a nice Patagonia, like bibs and jacket. So nothing outlandish that people would recognize. But we probably ran into 50, 60 people that knew him on a first name basis.
Honestly, the coolest thing was I felt like we had a private tour of the mountain, that we knew everything about all the runs and why certain things are open and what these buildings were that were closed to the public. But I will say, I personally don't think I have ever skied anywhere, no offense to anywhere else, as beautiful as Telluride. 360 gorgeous, amazing views of jagged peaks, snow cover, just, I don't know, it was stunning.
And, you know, we talked earlier in the season, should we get the Icon Pass? Should we get the Epic Pass? And some of you who've maybe listened to the podcast know that several of us got both. And the Epic Pass gets you on the mountain at Telluride. You do have to make a reservation. I don't think we realized that till the night before, but not a problem. Get out the Epic app, which basically takes you to the Telluride website, and you make a reservation with your Epic app or the Telluride website. I can't remember, but nevertheless, no problem at all.
But it does not count as a check on your Epic Pass as a day.
Yeah, like, so it doesn't, if you're counting your days on the Epic app, it doesn't show up. I'm using Slopes, so it counted it there. But just a good day. A good day. Yeah. Man, skiing with friends. And what was so cool is I hadn't seen this guy since 1990.
No.
Yeah, I graduated in 1991. So it was 1990 or 91 was the last time I saw him.
Maybe you graduated in 1993. At the same year I did, from the same college that I did.
Okay.
Who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? I thought 91. Nevertheless, thank you. I'm glad Melinda's on the podcast to correct me when insignificant dates come up. But, and we hadn't seen him, and it wasn't you know, it wasn't like we had skipped a beat even. So,
I did love, it was hilarious that he goes, I didn't know if how we were going to be as skiers. So he wasn't sure if he got what he'd gotten himself into until we did our first run.
That's awesome.
I felt the same way about him too. I was like, I wonder if we're just going to do cruisers all day or what, or are we just going to ski for an hour or two with him and then we'll be on our own. And no, we got to a point where we had to say, hey, we got to go. And because we had to get back to Ouray.
How was it seeing your folks? I know it's a sidebar, but.
Yeah, great. My folks are 80 and 85 respectively, and they spend a month in Ouray every year ice climbing.
It's crazy.
You know what, though? I wished they had come to Telluride skiing with us that day. They would have enjoyed, you know, one of the things about Telluride, which is important to me about ski areas, is when you can go down like ultra advanced skiing, but the friends and family you're with can go down, you know, a bluebird run or something like that. And Telluride is just made like that, that the steepest, deepest, best runs are, there's an alternate route to get you down to the base of that chairlift. That's a blue. And so it would be a great place to ski with people of all different abilities.
Well, something super unique that Dave and Mel did this time, they actually interviewed Tom while they're on the chairlift. So we've got two interviews with Tom. The first one, he talks about what to expect at Telluride and then why he thinks it's the best in the world. So we're going to go ahead and throw to that first interview. This is on the chairlift, so you're going to hear some stuff going on in the background. You might hear a little wind noise, but it's still good quality and it's worth a listen. Here's Tom, Dave, and Mel talking about what to expect at Telluride.
Oh, I got banter, all right.
I know you do. All right, tell us a little bit. Where are we and what are we doing?
All right, so
Tom. Who are you?
All right, Tom Watkinson. Almost born and bred Tellurider, I guess. Yeah, pretty much. Moved here when I was three. I am the PR guy for Telluride Tourism Board and Visit Telluride. And we are skiing the mountain here with my buds, Dave Downey and Mel from the Western Estate days. We go back a ways, turns out. And they haven't been to Telluride in like 30 plus years, which is ridiculous. Anyway, so I'm showing around the mountain. Telluride is a pretty amazing spot. Easy to get around, wide open trails, no lift lines, gorgeous scenery, the most scenic place you'll ever ski. And just cool and laid back. At the same time, being pretty easy to get to, but we can get into that later. We're heading up the Prospect Lift right now, which is in Prospect Bowl. This lift is, I'm just kind of giving them a tour of the whole mountain, how to ski the mountain on a nice bluebird groomer day. Yeah, that's about it. We're in Prospect Bowl, heading up to the Prospect Lift. Kind of have a great view right now of our hike twos off of Prospect Lift in the Palmyra Peak terrain. And then our Gold Hill shoots off the Gold Hill, is off to our left here. And we're just going to kind of explain that as we go through it all.
You said it was going to be the best skiing, and you said the best skiing in the world. Why?
Well, I mean, it totally depends on what you're looking for. On a day like today, amazing wide open groom runs. You know, for every level, we've got, you know, we're going up to the top of this lift is the fourth highest lift of the ski resort, Prospect Lift. Every level of skiing off the top of this lift, from extreme expert to beginner runs, which is incredible. You don't get that hardly anywhere. Beginner skiers rarely get the chance to get to the top of a mountain, see the scenic beauty, conquer the mountain and ski something down they can handle without overextending themselves to get down to the bottom. And also, our longest lift on the mountain, or our longest run on the mountain, is Galloping Goose, which is from the top of this lift all the way to below the mountain village, over 4.5 miles long.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you were going to point out one run here that was like, you know, we're talking more on the advanced side, doesn't have to be extreme, but what would you say is you guys' crown jewel run on a good day?
Oh, there's so many. That's a hard one. Depends on who you talk to. You know, a great powder run or a great run in general is Millions off the Gold Hill lift. You have Little Rose over to Millions, which takes you down to the bottom of the Gold Hill Express. Gold Hill Express lift is incredible. because of the amount of terrain and vert you can get and the amount of laps you can do in a day. So, and then that kind of changed. We just got a new Chair 9 plunge lift last year, which has cut that. It's the same distance as the old lift, just cut the travel time in half, the lift ride in half. So now you're able to get that many more laps over on the gold. Off the plunge lift, which is kind of a local's favorite. That's plunge stairs. Can't make them, mammoth bushwhacker. Amazing terrain in there. Expert skiing on a powder day. That's where everyone tends to head. Very steep bump runs, very steep tree skiing, very steep groom runs. So it's pretty incredible lift. With the new chair and half the time to ride, it's kind of a game changer over there.
Nice. And I think, as always, that's what we'll tell you at How to Ski It, is find a friend, find somebody you know, have them show you around the mountain. I mean, yeah, it's great to explore, but we're so lucky to have Tom here guide us today. And so far, we have seen he's right about the most scenic ski area I've ever been to in my life. So we'll report back here in a little bit, tell you what we find.
Oh, I love that. It just reminds me of that day, which was a great day. It's been a week plus, but it's still, if anything panned out this year, I know I wanted to make it to Sun Valley, but I wanted to ski some new places and tell you I'd check that box for sure.
Although I will admit, I felt a little bit guilty that we put Tom to work on his day off and he basically became our tour guide.
Yeah, but that's what skiing's about. I do that with people all the time. And that's what I do. That's what I did in Aspen with you guys.
I was going to say, you do that with me every time I get on a mountain.
It's a privilege. It's awesome. You get to show people and share your passion for how much you like this run and where the good side of the run is or where the best snow is and things like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's cool to have someone who is intimately familiar with a mountain tell you, hey, let's go do this. Especially when you know that person's level. I know your level. This is going to be right at the edge of it, or this is super easy for you, but it's going to have great snow. Stick to the right. I mean, that's why we started How to Ski It, is making videos about literally these are our favorite runs. Here's the best way to go down this run.
Yeah. And so if there was two takeaways from Telluride, go. So three takeaways. Go. Park at Carhenge. Yeah. It's on the map, and he told me the name, and I thought it was just some local's name that they used, and I was like worried we'd find it. And there's a sign on the main drag in Telluride that says turn here for Carhenge. So that would be one, would be park at Carhenge. And two, the culinary setup on the mountain between like the food and beverage stuff is amazing. And we went to a place mid-mountain. I wish I could remember the name. I know it's in the video. Amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. One of the best burgers of the year. I know we've been competing who's going to have the best hamburger of the year, but incredible service. You ordered with a QR code. And then Tom said, let's go get a beer. And by the time we get back, our food will be here. And sure enough, our food was, turned around. Garano is what it's called. Dylan's showing me on the map.
Garano Ranch.
And there was multiple, there was fancy culinary places like Cloud Nine at Aspen Highlands. There's two of those up on the mountain. But we went to Garano Ranch, and what a cool like beach atmosphere.
I'm looking at the map, and I'm super interested in the Alpino Vino restaurant. It's not even at the top of a lift. It's just along a boundary ridge.
We might have tried to get in there, and Tom flexed a little bit, but we were. That's not the place that you can show up and get in unless you're willing to eat lunch at like 3:45 p.m.
In fact, there are two shishi restaurants on the mountain, and they are very exclusive. They don't have a lot of tables, and so definitely it is a plan ahead experience.
And if I go back, which I will, and I'm hoping to go back in March of this year, we'll try to lock down reservations and at one of those places. But if I went back to Garano Ranch, I would be okay with that because it had a crazy vibe. Like you thought you were sitting around like movie stars and stuff like that.
So they had a bunch of Adirondack chairs. You sit outside. Sometimes they have live music, but the lift goes right by. So literally all the people on the lift are yelling at the people at the tables to wave at them, and there's music playing, and it is just a hip, cool vibe.
And so both of those lead into a perfect segue into the second interview, again on the chairlift. So if you hear noises, that's where it's coming from, with Dave, Mel, and Tom talking about when is the best time of year to come to Telluride. And Tom mentioned some of his favorite spots for food and opry.
All right, so I got a couple more questions.
Oh, man.
What's a good time of year to come to Telluride? Like, if I had to pick my vacation to come here, what's a good time of year?
You know, the best, you know, to guarantee anything is impossible, but February, March, typically, you know, we've filled in. Early season's obviously been what early season is, and it's getting later each year, unfortunately. But from February through March is great. And it's the last 2 months of the ski area. We close the first week in April. And you're going to get the most snow we're going to be getting that year, for the most part. I mean, not the most, but we'll have been well filled in. So that's your best timing. And then kind of want to avoid President's Week. It's crazy anywhere. You know, the families, obviously, if you got family, you're doing President's Week because that's your winter break. Some states have the whole week off. Others have just like a extended weekend. And then this is basically the second week of March and the spring breaks start. But they're a little more diluted because spring break is spread out. Not everyone, it's not like Christmas break where everyone has those 2 weeks. Spring break, you have your spring break anywhere from, you know, second week of March into the middle or end of April. So it dilutes a little bit more, but we're busier. Within snow conditions, you know, we should be amping up. We should have some of the best snow in February and in March. Getting into later March, it starts really warming up, which is also a great time to ski. It's a different type of snow you're skiing. But otherwise, our coverage is there, and we've got pretty much all, I mean, we pretty much have all of our terrain open right now. So it's, yeah, those are your best times, really. Hit it.
Besides skiing, what would be the one thing I should, like, restaurant or thing I should do? Well, like, let's start with restaurant. Where should I take my family to eat?
The culinary scene in Telluride is incredible, just because it's, most of the restaurants are chef-owned around here. The dining scene on the ski resort is incredible. We've really kind of accepted the fact that, you know, on-mountain dining can be expensive, but that doesn't mean it can't be good, too. We've got the highest fine dining restaurant in North America, Alpino Vino. Amazing Italian food with an amazing wine selection at almost 12,000 feet. I was just pointing out Bon Vivant down there. It's probably one of my favorite restaurants in town. It's French cuisine. It's only open for lunch and only in the winter. You can only ski to it. And then, and that's just is to compliment all the dining in Telluride. People are blown away by the quantity of quality dining in Telluride. For such a small town, everything is so good.
All right, last quick question. Best place to operate ski?
Best place to operate ski is the beach at Garano. You're still on the mountain. And then the next best place is Oak down in town, which we'll be skiing to here in just a little bit.
Awesome.
I was disappointed that we didn't get to go do Opry. We had previous dinner plans in Ouray to go out with a woman that rescues women out of Afghanistan. So that took priority.
Yeah, a little bit of priority there. That's awesome.
And that was borderline a life-changing experience to meet somebody that rescues people out of Afghanistan and provides a better life for them. Like, man, you want to feel small about what you do in life, meet somebody that's so big.
That's incredible.
She also told us a story, which I thought was amazing, and I don't have all the names, but at Telluride, they arranged for a gentleman who's paraplegic to go to some of those trails you talked about that you have to hike to. And in those trail areas, there are poles that are like in the ground, so they used a pulley system to pull him up and over into these areas. And it was, I think, a group of like 5 or 6 people basically used this pulley system to bring this guy and his sled all the way in so he could ski some double diamond, pretty hairbag stuff. And it was pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
Sick.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember her last name. She's friends with my parents. Her first name is Danica. And so if you live in Ridgeway, Colorado, you most definitely know who we're talking about. But probably one of the greatest people on the planet. So that's why we didn't get to go out and opry ski in Telluride, which I hear is a top scene. When I was in college, I went and saw The Dead in Telluride, and I went and saw Jimmy Cliff in Telluride too. So
nice.
I've got a good history there, but it's 30 years back.
I feel like it's so small that it shouldn't really get crowded. Like, it's so far away from the metro area.
Well, it's like Aspen and this is a piece of advice for anybody. The locals don't know shit in Telluride or Aspen about what crowded means.
Beep.
Because what they say is crowded is they weren't able to ski directly to the loading line without stopping. And they also don't know much about ski snow conditions because they, you know, Tom's 100 days a year, and he was saying, like, sorry about the bad conditions. I mean, they were like B.
Yeah, for sure.
Know? They were like B. And so I don't know that locals are probably good advice for locals. But if you're coming from the Denver metro area,
they're delusional.
Yeah, they're going to be like, it's really busy on Fridays. And what they mean is there's one other group of people in the lift line.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I can't wait. I know we've talked about trying to get back down there in March. Go see if we can't tour Wagner skis and maybe hit up some of the fancy dining on the mountain. But I can't wait to just go and ski Telluride. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it's got a great vibe. Like, not every ski town. And I'm not taking a shot at Copper Mountain or Winter Park, but they don't have this, like, they both have amazing skiing, and we're going to talk about Winter Park at the next show. But they don't have this, like, ski town vibe that Aspen has and Telluride has and Steamboat has and Vail has, but it's a little warped in Vail. It's just different in Vail. But they don't have that Colorado Western ski town vibe that Telluride, it's going off the hook. Aspen Highlands, it goes off the hook. Steamboat, if you've ever been there.
Yeah, they're like Warren Miller vibes.
It's like a Warren Miller movie, just being there is what it feels like. And it's
not just the skiing, but the people. Like, that was the greatest thing he did, right? Just captured the essence of skiing and the culture and just the camaraderie. And that's what I feel like when I was up in Crested Butte, I felt that. It's another one of those mountain towns that's just old and the people are there. And it's just like, this is a cool place. Come enjoy it with us.
Yeah, and that's a good catch on Crested Butte. I shouldn't have left them out of there. Have a long history going to Western State College of Colorado. And that's another one that fits in that group.
Yeah.
And again, not to take anything away from Winter Park or Copper Mountain, and we could go on all day, Breckenridge, but they just don't have that same, like, history vibe that you get in these towns that were mining towns long before they were ski towns. And Telluride or Keystone was a mining town before it was a ski town, but doesn't have that vibe.
Well, I think a bunch of those are all kind of near one another, so it changes the element. One of my favorite things your dad said while we were over there was how the historic nature of Telluride, and you mentioned this at the beginning, but the historic nature of the town and then the resort really gives you, you're experiencing two completely different types of, you know, atmospheres.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's like the difference between an old Western town and a high-end ski resort. And there's a gondola that runs to like midnight that connects the two.
Sweet. No taxis.
That is super sweet.
Yeah.
No buses. I'm sorry. No buses. No taxis.
You ride the gondola to get between the two towns. So
nice.
Super cool place.
Your style.
I do. There's something about a mountain town with mountain town vibe that's just, it's really awesome. It's especially awesome to be in a mountain town and then go skiing.
Like, and then go opry
ski. Was like that. And then opry ski was, that's awesome. And I'm excited to try that out in Telluride.
So some bad news. Ski season's half over. And
don't,
I know.
Don't say that.
I know.
How dare you?
Well, and hopefully it'll inspire to ski like this weekend. And I had to fall on the weekend sword a couple times since.
Yeah, I need to get over my disgust of weekends and go.
Tell you what, leave before 5.
Let me tell you how you ski on the weekend, and this is true and I'm not being sarcastic, is set expectations properly. You know, start early. And then I had to wait the past weekend. Every lift line was like 7 to 10 minutes. And if you think about it, that's not too bad. I mean, it's bad if you like skiing on Tuesday afternoons and skiing straight into the chair, but it wasn't too bad. And the skiing was good. And then one of the great things about the places we ski is other people just don't ski. People don't ski advanced runs. I mean, there's nowhere short of like Trestle at Winter Park that is crowded on an advanced run, and that's a black diamond. So that's not like a double diamond or something like that, but that can get busy. But advanced runs aren't crowded. Paul Vicini at Arapahoe Basin isn't crowded, you know, find those places and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, you inspired me. I'm going Saturday. I don't know where, but I'm going.
I think at least for me is going to be Eldora again. I'm in that time of year where I'm just ready to get up there, get my runs in and stuff like that. And I've had some good days on Saturdays. It's been busy, but all the fancy studio equipment in the world isn't going to take people knocking their teeth into the microphone. So you hear some sounds and dogs that...
Yeah, Dylan needs to just chill.
Dogs that want to play fetch in the studio.
If you don't already, be sure to rate this podcast on your podcast player of choice. Follow us on all the socials. That is Facebook, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, and YouTube. We've got new content coming up all the time. We went semi-viral recently on Instagram. That's right. 900 likes for a pizza post.
Microviral is what it's
microviral.
Called.
Thank you. That's the word. I was going with semi. I like micro. Anyway,
and then can I just leave everybody with a bad taste in their mouth?
Go ahead.
I think it's time to change the Skier Safety Act in Colorado.
HowToSkiIt.com.
Yeah,
hit us up on the forum. Let's talk about it in writing. Know.
Is the forum up yet?
Yeah,
it is. Podcast for skiers, by skiers, about skiers.
We'll see you next time when we're talking about the Winter Park Ski Train.